Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, welcome to Zone Time. I'm Julian. Justin Cuthbert is here. Sam Chang is here. Omar is also here. I don't have a Leafs joke to make, so let's just go to the Battle of Alberta. Yeah, let's just get that out the way.
There are no Leafs jokes to make because the Leafs aren't out.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not in. They are out.
They're not in.
They're very not in.
That was a great slip.
Yeah.
That ended up being a lot worse than I intended it to be.
Yeah. There's the joke.
There it is. Oh. I feel like the last four episodes has been like one moment where like the show just goes off the rails. Awesome.
It's okay. Also, shout out to Sam for rocking the Biggie shirt. This weekend, the Notorious B.I.G. would have been 50 years old if you were still with us. Still one of the greatest to ever do it. And shout out to Sam for paying respect to Game. I didn't realize you were a Biggie fan.
Yeah. You know what? Sorry, this is like a totally off track comment, but
please go ahead.
I pulled a Julian today and I got the hurdle on the first try.
Yes. 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 Are you guys up on hurdle? That's like my favorite game to play right now.
Listen,
that's because you're good at it.
No,
yeah, thank you. Yes.
I stopped all that stuff.
Why'd you stop?
I was an every morning wordle person, man. Like every day doing it, trying to get it. And then one day, the first try, I got 4 out of 5 letters. And then every single attempt, wrong, X out of 6, done. I'm done. So I have not picked it up since.
But hurdle is actually like, it's more fun than Wordle.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And like, I don't know how I didn't see your thread before, but you are outrageously good at it. Like, it's weird.
I mean, there's some days I miss and there are some days I genuinely just like, I can't get it. And I can't be out here like posting all of my failures and getting shame. There was like one day, like I did it. And like, I got like the second beat and like Dom LeShizzard was all like, man, how did you not get on the first one? And I'm not trying to have Dom and all of his people shame me. So that like kind of scared me off from posting it every single day. But when I do get it right, and it is often enough, I will post it. Love you, Dom. Justin, do you partake in these fun games? Wordle, hurdle? Is there a Gordle?
I've tried Gordle. I've tried Wordle, which is hard to say, but it was countries. That was very discouraging because I did not do well in that. But I was doing it every day in playoffs. It all fell off. It all fell off for me. I wouldn't do well at hurdle, though.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I'm not up on it.
I guess, I don't know. I mean, I don't really know your music taste to that point, but I guess we can go in on that on another podcast, I guess. Maybe the Yahoo Sports Hockey podcast. But you did mention playoffs. It's a good segue to keep us back on track because the NHL playoffs are on right now. And the Battle of Alberta is taking place. And as we're recording, the Edmonton Oilers have a 2-1 series lead on the Calgary Flames. And, I have to admit, look, Connor McDavid, he's doing his thing, and I want to talk about Connor McDavid. I just want to mention, though, I have to say, I will give them their props because we thought they needed goaltending. Mike Smith looks like he's the best goaltender in this series. We thought they were going to need more help. They looked like all they really did was sign Evander Kane, and that's still not an easy topic to deal with at all. But the Oilers have a series lead, so I will just say I will give them their props. It is a long series. I still think it's going to be a long one. but I just want to give them their props. But we have to give Connor McDavid his props too, because he is going on God mode. He's like, what, 23 points in like 10 playoff games.
It's absurd.
He's literally taking over games. Dude, it is absurd what he's been able to do with the Edmonton Oilers. And we need Connor McDavid like this. We praise him on this show so much. We need him to do this. Omar, do you want to go in on this?
Yeah, I just want to say like one thing.
Go off.
I am so disappointed in the Calgary Flames. That first game, 9-6. They blow, anytime we talk about Calgary, then we focus on what? It's a Daryl Sutter team. They'll score two on you, lock it down. I'm watching game one. They're up 5-1. I'm like, okay, game over. It's done. And then, like, Edmonton keeps crawling back and crawling back. And, yeah, granted, Calgary won that game. But, like, I think, like, that – the way that game went, I don't know, man. I think it really did shake something within the team. Not to say, like, you know, that they're going to lose or whatever. But I think that was the game that, even though Edmonton lost, I think it was a game that Edmonton kind of needed. Because again, like, that is usually the narrative when you're facing a Daryl Sutter coach team. If they score three goals on you, it's game over. So the fact that it was 5-1 and Edmonton was able to battle back to an extent and tie the game at one point, and now you're seeing how these last two games are going. You know, McDavid Connor McDavid is not real, and I will refuse to admit that Connor McDavid is real until I have the pleasure of meeting Connor McDavid and saying, oh, okay, you're Connor McDavid. I wouldn't say that.
He won't win the Hart Trophy this year because he didn't score 60 goals.
Listen to me, man.
Connor McDavid is going through the best season he's ever had in his career. He is going off on the Calgary Flames. There is a very good chance the Leafs are not in the playoffs anymore.
Let us have
Connor McDavid could be in a conference final against the Colorado Avalanche, playing out of his mind. And what are we going to do? Give the Hart Trophy to Austin Matthews because he scored 60 goals in a season. Fine, maybe much deserved, but how we go feel when we see Connor McDavid balling out like he's done all year, but Austin Matthews gets the Hart Trophy? Okay, I just want to point that out. That's not me hating.
No,
I get it. Austin Matthews deserves it, but I'm just saying.
Here's the thing.
It's going to look funny to me.
Here's the thing, man. You are 1,000% right.
Thank you.
However.
Thank you.
What do you mean, however? However.
I know I'm right.
Listen. Let me have something. Okay. Let me have something.
All right. You're gonna do your whole I'll let you go off
true.
For 2 minutes.
It's true. I'm watching. Look, it's fine. Fine. Walk away. It's okay. You're just gonna say all the stuff and walk away. It's okay. Fine. Listen, man. We are another year where the Leafs should have done something and they didn't. So all we have to hold on to are the individual things. And damn it, if Austin Matthews winning the Hart, if that could be the one ray of positivity, cool, that's fine. Not to say that Connor McDavid, you know, doesn't deserve the Hart. And to be honest, I think that's just, you know, the nature and the culture around the award itself. Because based off the definition, it should be Connor McDavid every single year. But it's not. Justin brought this up a couple episodes ago. Usually, like, we focus on narratives. And the narrative the entire year was Matthews, you know, breaking the single season scoring record, scoring 60 goals. That's huge. That's awesome. See, it's funny. Like, we're supposed to talk about Edmonton. We started talking about the Leafs. Anyway, back to the main point. Shocked. I'm surprised at Calgary and how they haven't really looked as secure as they were before. But you know what? All credit to Edmonton. All great choice. Infinity Gauntlet. That's a solid story. I actually whipped out some of my old comic books and been reading them a lot. Brian Michael Bendis, Jonathan Hickman. Solid. If anyone here is listening to is into comic books and you want to find some authors, Jonathan Hickman, Brian Michael Bendis, top tier writers. But yeah, so I guess the next game I think will be huge for Calgary as far as how they respond. Okay, you can put down your comic book, Julian.
Props to the Edmonton Oilers, but I feel like game one geared us up for this like epic crazy battle, and I was personally hoping for more of the Brady cam, but I think the biggest shock to me so far has been how ordinary Jacob Markstrom has looked after an incredible regular season. Like, he does not look anything like regular season Jacob Markstrom, and I have no idea what's going on there, but that's, you know, if he can't pull it together, that's a huge problem for Calgary.
Yeah. Well, Connor McDavid is like stealing his soul every game. Like, there have been like two games where like McDavid has like walked in and tight and like deked him out hard. So like, it's definitely tough on that aspect.
Kath, do you have any, I'm sorry for the little tantrum I just put on there.
No,
just
I mean, I'm going to go back at you for a second here. You're wrong. Auston Matthews is the deserved Hart Trophy winner.
Yes.
Connor McDavid could win the Conn Smythe Trophy regardless of how the Oilers finish, because he's been so good in the playoffs, when in reality, during the middle of the season, when Dave Tippett was still the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, the Oilers and their superstars weren't playing very well. They weren't playing.
They were not.
Tippett. And for that reason, it was his best season, but statistically or by rate or whatever, it wasn't his best season. His best season was last season. He won the Hart Trophy unanimously. So Auston Matthews still deserves the Hart Trophy, in my opinion.
I just want to say, I'm not saying Auston doesn't deserve the Hart Trophy. I'm just saying it's going to look very funny if Connor McDavid gets to whatever, if he's still alive in the playoffs and we're doing the NHL awards and Auston Matthews gets the Hart Trophy and Connor McDavid just sitting there, it's going to look funny. And someone, not me, someone is going to be like, well, why didn't he get it? Someone is going to make a stink of it. It's
he
going
didn't get
to
it be because he would wear like hockey laces as his belt to the NHL awards. And that was terrible. So disqualified on that basis.
Why would you do that?
That looked so bad.
What? I need to look that. Why would you do that?
You didn't see that?
You're a grown man going to an NHL award ceremony. You're wearing shoelaces as belts.
Who was that?
Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
What?
Good times.
It's tough. Okay. All right. Well, maybe I have to rethink that statement I did. Go ahead, Cuthbert.
I will say though, Connor McDavid is dominating a playoff series like no other player in the league can. Like, this is not a possibility for anyone else to do what McDavid is doing versus Calgary. But there are certain reasons why. Like, Auston Matthews got to play the Tampa Bay Lightning, and Connor McDavid's getting to play the Calgary Flames without their best defenseman and against Eric Goodbranson on the top pairing and Nikita Zadorov playing major minutes and Michael Stone getting in the lineup. I mean, this has been all set up, laid out for Connor McDavid to feast, and he's taking advantage of the opportunity that's in front of him. No one could do what he's doing right now, but he is in a perfect position to do what he's doing right now. And he deserves all the credit in the world. I love seeing it. There's no one more excited about watching meaningful playoff games involving Connor McDavid than me, but the situation does cater to him right now. And he's taking advantage of it. It's time for Daryl Sutter to earn that Jack Adams, if you want to talk about awards, and do something to try and stop what is happening right now, which is the Edmonton Oilers taking complete control of this series.
Yeah. That's true. Okay. I damn you and your logic. Damn you and you making sense about that. But yeah, just damn you. Okay.
Damn you. So what I said didn't make any sense. It's fine. That's cool.
I never said that. I was just acknowledging Cuthbert at his point. It's not always about you, Omar.
I know. I have to have.
It's always about the Leafs, though.
Little mini victory.
Yeah. Clearly, you found a way to make it all about the Leafs when they are not in the playoffs.
Technically, you made it about the Leafs.
Stop that. No. Stop it.
One of the first, the episode started with a pause and paraphrasing. I don't have a joke about the Leafs.
I don't like the fact that my panelists are turning on me this week. I do not appreciate this. Okay. No,
like, going back to that series, it's funny because, like, I don't know. I guess it was after the game, but Matthew Tkachuk's quote, which is along the lines of, like, you know, when you have like one guy playing half of the game or something. So like they know what we know, and that McDavid is freaking taking control. So to Justin's point, it's just like, okay, Daryl Sutter and the rest of the coaching staff. Okay. You don't have your best defenseman right now. Jacob Markstrom, to Sam's point, doesn't look as great as he did in the regular season. What can we do? Because if things continue like this, then you're going to lose the series, man. And as we talked about before the playoffs, like the playoffs are high stakes for the Flames, considering all the changes that could happen in free agency. So they really, really need to, you know, kind of make a plan and decide, like, how are we going to be able to, you know, to contain Connor McDavid though for the next, these next stretch of games. Another thing too, and I know I rip on him a lot, I got props to Leon Draisaitl, man. I'm so surprised considering what the injury was, or what the talk of the injury was, like, seeing him like play, it's like, it's wild to see that. So like, props to him as well. Like, you know, like those two players that they're being there, they're the team's best players, and you know, goes to show what happens.
That's fine. I just want to say with the Flames, good luck trying to find a way to contain Connor McDavid, but we're not talking about a team that has just 15 and 20 goal scorers on their team. They have 3 40 goal scorers on one line. So those three, I'm looking at you, Elias Lindholm, Johnny Gaudreau, and Matthew Tkachuk. Y'all need to wake up and score some goals. I mean, it's not easy to do. If it was easy, we'd all be doing it. But the Calgary Flames, if they want to win game 4, which is still possible. Remember, we went on that whole McDavid tirade just now. The Flames are one win away from just kind of putting bed to all of that and just making this a series again. But it's going to start with those three players in particular, I think. All right. Do we have anything we want to add on the Battle of Alberta before we address Bottlegate? And we talk about how Jordan Binnington throwing a water bottle is childish, to say petulant, and stupid. Like, are you kidding me?
Like, not even during the game. Like, I kind of like, look, I kind of understand throwing a water bottle during the game. Like, I,
yes,
it would still be childish, but I get it. But like, from what I understand, he would have had to leave the Blues area and cross over to where the Avs are in order to be able to throw a water bottle at Nazem Kadri in the middle of his press conference. Like, that's not just childish. That's actually just unprofessional. Like, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And that's, thank you, Sam. Like, that's the thing that's not being talked about enough. It's unprofessional. Like, and what was the timing perfect? Like, was Jordan Binnington just like going on a stroll and just like, oh, look, it's Nazem Kadri doing an interview. And look, there's a water, like, was it just by chance, or was this planned? Was this calculated? And yeah, like, man, like, I know we give the league a lot of crap for like fines and stuff. That's one thing I was surprised, like, nothing came out of it. Like, and even though, yes, in hindsight, fines don't do much, but like, you gotta at least just have something on the books to say, like, hey, you can't do that. Right? Like, you can't, you cannot do that. You can't walk up, you can't walk into an area where a player is doing an interview with ESPN, NHL, and TNT and chuck a freaking bottle at him while he's answering a question. Like, and then all the other stuff afterwards, like we'll talk about that after the fact. But like, as far as that interview right there, like, it's embarrassing. I'd be embarrassed for Jordan Binnington.
I mean, like, you think about the fact that when, you know, we laugh at this, it was entertaining, but John Tortorella, when he was the coach of Canucks, going to the Calgary Flames dressing room and that like brouhaha in the hallway, he was suspended for 15 days. Like, to me, you know, sure, he didn't start a melee, but he threw something in the middle of a press conference. Like, that's your broadcaster. That's something that's shown everywhere. Like, how do you just not address it at all?
Can I offer a rebuttal to this? Like, I know the water bottle was thrown. It's not conclusive to me that water bottle hit Nazem Kadri. He still threw it at him.
He missed. He missed. Actually funnier.
It's funnier that way. And so because he missed, I don't think it's worth, I think fighting it might be a little much. I think Jordan Binnington should at the very least live with the embarrassment of knowing that he did that childish thing and get roasted for it, which might not necessarily hit his wallet as much.
But this is the same guy who like tries to fight other players all the time. It's like constantly restrained by the referees.
Mm-hmm. And then just another thing,
the fake tough guy
persona. It's got to stop. It's but
another, I agree. Yeah,
and another thing too, like, do you like, are you punishing the fact that it happened or the fact that there was an attempt? Like, I don't think that should really change anything. Like, whether the bottle hit him or not, he threw the flipping bottle at him while he was doing an interview. Like, that in and of itself, like, regardless of the fact that it made contact or whatever, that in and of itself, I think, needs to be talked about, needs to be discussed.
The team could easily discipline its guy, too. Yep. Maybe you don't even need to have it led to the league. If I'm a guy on the team, I'm like, dude, you can't be doing that to other team's players. But
Yeah, but this is a team that's response from its head coach is no comment to threats made against Kadri. So I don't know what we expect from the Blues.
That is very true.
They seem to have each other's back before anything else, including morality. But yeah, I mean, I do find it very entertaining when Jordan Binnington makes a mess of himself and dunks on himself, basically. Like, this guy is like the most laughable at human in the NHL, I think. Like, he's a complete mess, and it's kind of entertaining, but I don't think they should necessarily add something to the rule book that says you can't throw a water bottle at someone while they're doing an interview. But there should probably be some sort of conduct in place here. There probably should have been a fine, because it's just stupid over anything. And it's clearly something that they shouldn't be condoning. And if you don't punish it, I guess in some ways you do condone it. But I mean, I think it's ultimately pretty harmless. I do like Sam's thought about like how the mechanics of this happened. Like, was he in the dressing room on the trainer's table and someone said, "Hey, Kadri's doing an interview with TNT." And he's like, "What?" Is he? And then he just grabs whatever is there for him and in front of him and whips it across the room and hits like the bottom of the camera or the light beside Kadri. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's an embarrassing person doing an embarrassing thing. I don't think it's much more than that.
Sam, you brought up there were threats made at Nazem Kadri. I know Peter Baum, my colleague at The Athletic, has been on top of that. Not to make this a little bit more serious, but this is something we absolutely have to talk about with regards to Nazem Kadri.
Absolutely.
We, like, fans be better with that sort of stuff here. You know, I don't think Nazem meant to get run into Jordan Binnington like that. And to have it get to a point where people are threatening him online, I think that's disgusting. And yeah, I expressed some disappointment as well on Craig Berube just offering no comment. I think there's an opportunity for you, even if that is not your guy, to say that you're not for guys getting any type of online and or just any type of verbal abuse or anything like that. There's an opportunity for him to at least say, I'm not for that. And for him to just be like, no comment. Like, I just thought that was a little bit disappointing. I get that's not his guy, but I think Craig Berube there, that was a little bit disappointing just to kind of see from a distance.
Yeah.
I think when
I was okay. You go, Sam.
I think when you're at the point where it's not just a matter of online abuse and like racially motivated comments towards Kadri, which, you know, his wife and other players have said he's constantly been the subject of throughout his career. Mm-hmm. I think when you're at the point where the Blues organization and the St. Louis police are involved, where the Avalanche have to get special protection for their team, I think it's embarrassing that Craig Berube said no comment. It doesn't take a lot for you to say it is unacceptable for anyone to make those kinds of threats directed toward a player over a hockey game. Like, we can debate all day whether or not Kadri meant to run into Binnington. I don't think so. I think Rosen knocked him off and I think it was accidental, but even if it were intentional, okay, like Tom Wilson does stuff like that all the time. Players do stuff like that all the time. It happens. There is no point where it is appropriate for anyone to make any kind of threat of personal safety against a hockey player over a hockey game. It's absurd. Like, get some help.
Yeah, honestly, like there is no excuse or no situation where anyone should be subjected to threats or racially motivated language, like at all. And same thing. I get it. I get it. It's the playoffs. You know, you want to focus on your own team, but there are when anytime something along this ilk or along in this category happens in the NHL, I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised. You know, this one, I don't know why this one surprised me. I'm not going to lie. I was actually taken aback when you just full on said no comment. No one's asking you to write a eulogy. No one's asking you to talk about the hit or whatever. Like by commenting on this, like no one's saying that, like, oh, okay, well, you're on Kadri's side or whatever. But like, this goes beyond hockey. This is a human being who's being subjected to these things. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, hey, St. Louis Blues fans, or like, you know, fans that we want following this organization. We don't want people who are doing these type of things. Yes, games will get heated, whatever, but like, this goes beyond hockey, and this is a person, this is a human being who shouldn't be subjected to that type of stuff. I think just taking the no comment It bothers me so much because anytime things happen, anytime something happens, you always have organizations who say, like, oh, we know we need to do better to make sure that these things are not in a place in hockey or not in a place in our society. And then when you have opportunities to do that, the bare minimum, like, he doesn't want to do it. So again, I know people will say, oh, he's focusing on the playoffs, he's focusing on the game, whatever. But I think we've seen many instances of where only focusing on the game and not focusing on the more important things have led to a lot of things. So this isn't an area where you can just focus on the game. And I think it's embarrassing is a word that I'll use, but the feeling I have towards this is so much more than that.
Yeah, it was the wrong time to stay inside your bubble if you're Craig Berube, like, and that says it, like, that's the bare minimum. But I don't mean to pass the buck here. I mean to, like, spread it out. And St. Louis PR team, like, what are you guys doing? I 100%. Mean, yeah. Clearly Berube is not really connected to what's happening on social media and all that. I don't expect him to be doing that, but he should have been informed here. And St. Louis PR should have been like, hey, there's just a nasty, disgusting thing going on right now. If you're asked about this, just, like, please say something that is at least shows some respect to the player and to the situation. And of course that didn't happen, or at least it did happen and Berube decided to go the other way with it. Like, you can still use that opportunity if you're Craig Berube to say, none of this should be happening, but I still hate what Nazem Kadri did. And I still think that he should be punished for what he did, even though I don't believe that. I think it was incidental, but you could still go at Kadri, but also do the right thing and say to the fans, and you said fans, I'd see fans pretty loosely, just people that are willing to jump on board and be disgusting, vile human beings. But to say, hey, there's no place for this. If you're a part of this, please stop. Like, that would be as simple as it gets for Berube. But of course he stayed in his bubble, and I think it's his fault, but it's also the people around him failing him as well.
Yeah, the fans, just as a general, the ones who are getting involved in this sort of thing, you have to give your head a shake to those people. There's no reason for them to be doing any of that sort of stuff. Omar, you bring up a really good point. There have been times, the wild thing about you saying that there have been times where people getting kind of stuck within the confines of the game and not considering stuff beyond that. We have more serious examples of that from this season. And it's sometimes I feel as if not enough people have learned their lessons about what has transpired pretty much over the last 12 months, whether it's Chicago or Montreal or anything like that. So not to say that, I mean, look, I think Craig Berube should have taken this very seriously. The St. Louis Blues should have taken this very seriously. Fans of the Blues or just whoever is doing these comments, go touch grass or something. Like, I just think it's just absolutely abhorrent that you would just take time out of your day to do this. I get this is the playoffs and we get super into it, but to get to a point where you just want to throw insults at somebody that way and put threats on them. And people seem to not think that threats online could be taken seriously. They absolutely should. But I all in all, man, I agree with everyone here. It's absolutely stupid.
Can I say
and just really
thing?
Disappointing. Of course you can.
Yeah. The Hockey Diversity Alliance put out that video a couple months back. Just showing the tip of the iceberg of some of the responses, comments that they've received over the years. Nazem Kadri was in that video, and we also saw some examples as well. So for those who at the time were maybe saying, oh, it's not that bad, oh, it's just kind of, we're just blowing out of proportion, here you go. And to Sam's point, is Kadri the only person who has, you know, been on the wrong side of collisions when it comes to players or whatever? No. Do the rest of those situations turn to death threats or racial remarks? This is why this stuff is important. This is why the Hockey Diversity Alliance is important. This is why it's brave and courageous for players like Kadri and Wayne Simmonds and Akeem Aliyu who have you know, taken to the Players Tribune to get people to understand their experiences, and that this isn't just a one-off. And again, this is just for the professional players you're playing right now. When you think of players who are trying to grow up in hockey at this moment, there are many conversations about this. Again, Wayne Simmonds at the beginning of this, of the beginning of the season said, I don't know if I'm going to put my kids into hockey. Not from money, not from time, from safety. And so, so when it comes to moments like this, where you can have a person who has a pretty strong presence in an organization as a head coach, when you have an opportunity to say, this isn't okay, and this is why, for him not to do it, and again, just to do the whole no comment thing, that speaks volumes.
And at least that's on to that. The other part about this whole situation that I find that I found uncomfortable watching from beginning to end is that the person who had to bring this to light was Akeem Alou.
Yep.
Like that it was, again, another player of color who had to take this on. And the closest thing we've gotten to condemnation from anyone in the Blues organization, or frankly from any other player, is David Perron calling it unfortunate, which I think is a massive understatement. Like, unfortunate doesn't even begin to cover what's happening here. And it just, it makes me think, like, you know, we had the player walk out during the bubble for Black Lives Matter. And we heard all these statements about how, you know, this is something that's important to them. They've got to figure out ways to address this. And you know, this is one of the prime examples where one of your players is being specifically racially targeted, and it's silence other than from Akeem Alou. And I think that's embarrassing. What was the point of the walkout? Like, what did you learn? So far, I've seen nothing.
That's the point I was trying to make earlier. I feel as if that there were lessons that, and I say last 12 months, you can even extend it back 24 months around the pandemic from George Floyd, lessons that should have been learned from a number of players and personnel around the National Hockey League and even into media as well that have not been retained. So yeah, I think you make a very good point in that. Maybe we could have seen more support for Nazem, and who knows how that will change heading into after this game or after their next game or in the next few days, who knows. But I am a bit disappointed. I think that's a very good point to bring up as well. There isn't that much support coming up for Nazem Kadri. I understand that this is coming off of a controversial play, but nobody likes to see anyone in the NHL get threats like that. So why can't we have people just make the point in supporting Nazem Kadri? Yeah, I'm glad that we were able to have this conversation about that, because we here at Zone Time, we don't avoid that sort of stuff. So yeah, I think we all made some really good points. A bit of a tough transition to go from this series to just kind of mentioning either some of the other teams or some of the other things going on here. We're going to try to do that as best as we can. I understand with this podcast being out on the Tuesday, this comes after game 4 of Tampa, Florida. So we don't know, as if you're listening to this, who won game 4. It is entirely possible the Tampa Bay Lightning might have swept the Florida Panthers. But I still think it's enough to talk about how the Florida Panthers are in the hole that they're in, and the Tampa Bay Lightning are as good. I guess I kind of have to bring up the Leafs again here. Sorry, I really tried not to, and I ended up bringing up the Leafs as much as I did. It is my fault. I really did. But I bring them up only because, you know, Omar, do you feel any better knowing that the Lightning are disposing of the Panthers the way that they are?
Oh, 100%. And here's the thing. I know a lot of people will say that's loser energy, that's a loser mentality. This is why you never went around. And you know what? You're right. You're 100% right. However, listen, okay? Because this is how my brain is processing it. Whether it's right or not, whatever. So we have the Leafs, who took, in air quotes, the Tampa Bay Lightning to 7 games. They could have finished it in 6, didn't, lost in game 7, so that's why I put took in air quotes. And again, they had to fight, they had to battle. It's a tough game. Tampa Bay wins the series. And now I'm just watching a team get clapped every single
team. Why did you use clapped?
Because listen,
hey, man, yo.
They don't have Braden Point. I don't think Nikita Kucherov is healthy, but they're winning anyway. Corey Perry scoring, what does he have, like 3 goals in 3 games or something like that? Corey Perry is going off. Ross Colton, listen, man, you want to talk about ending a series? Ross Colton ended the series where what it was like 0.9 seconds left in regulation. That man, that was the series right there.
That was my thought too. I was like, that killed him.
That right there. And now Florida, they're just like they're grasping for straws. They don't know what to do. So what do they do? And again, this can be we don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow. You know, maybe they win a game. Okay, we're going to game five or whatever. But they have gone to their Lord and Savior, Joe Thornton, to try to win the series. And I'm watching this and I'm like, man, I don't know about that. Especially that you're sitting at Anthony Duclair. I don't know about that. So it looks it looks interesting. So would I feel better if Florida was swept? 100%. Does it make sense? Probably not. But hey, this is me.
Okay. All right. Did anyone else want to add on to
possible Joe Thornton was the only one who got a decent night of sleep, so that's why he's in the lineup. But again, unconfirmed. No allegations being thrown out.
Yeah. But allegedly.
I don't think it matters. I think Florida kind of knows what's up. I think the Lightning even said it. I think Stamkos said something along the lines of we know what to do. I mean, so simplistic, but they couldn't say it better. They do know what to do. It was pretty obvious that they knew what to do in game two when they all just laid down in front of shot after shot after shot, went to the dressing room and back. They know how to win playoff games, and they know how to outclass an inferior opponent. The Florida Panthers are an inferior opponent, and the Leafs, it should make Leaf fans feel better because you were right there. You probably should have beat what is an unbelievable hockey team. An unbelievable hockey team that might get a week off, can recharge, can reset the batteries, and probably win this thing again.
But remember, if ifs and buts were cookies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
We would.
Sam, do you have any thoughts on the Panthers getting clapped in every game, apparently?
I like how you've managed to work in clapped and also ifs and buts. It's just very relevant to this team. Right now.
Yeah. Apparently. Unconfirmed, allegedly. Can we please sprinkle allegedly all over this, please? Because we don't know.
Andy Slater said his quote unquote strip club sources, who are the best in the industry, confirmed it, and it is true. He said it is.
I'm just saying, you know, Julian's like, you know, when Family Feud, when someone has like a non PG answer, and Steve Harvey just loses his mind. That's Julian, right? He's like, oh, whoa.
For context here, there are reports going around social media that members of the Florida Panthers were caught at a strip club late at night up until
early hours.
What do you think we're
doing? This?
Wait, what did you think we were talking about?
Yeah, what were all these jokes about to
you? What do you think? You didn't know?
No, I didn't know. I'm so glad we got to see Omar find that out in real time.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Wait, pause. Wait,
that's why you said clap.
Yes.
No, I was just trying to be funny.
Well, I thought you were making a joke.
It was funny. It was funny. And again, these are like there's been some unconfirmed stuff. We don't know if that's legit. It's just something that's just kind of gone out on the internet. And since we're a show that lives on the internet, it's easy for us to hop hockey on that Twitter stuff. But hockey Twitter thing. But can I just say something here though? Unless it's proven that like that night out directly affects like the product on the ice or players getting scratched, I don't care. They're off the clock. If you want to go do extracurricular activities, do you. Congratulations. Like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's just funny now because we made all the jokes to it the way that we did. And Omar had no clue. And he made the best one of all of us.
I had no idea.
I will say, if it's true, allegedly, I'd be pretty pissed off if I was Bill Zito, who just spent the next two first round picks. And it, like, are they 3 years without a first round pick? They went a lot into the season, and the white flag was maybe waved.
I have a question. I want to take Julian's hat for a second. Sam, sure. Chang, did Claude Giroux make a mistake?
Yes.
Because before the season, right, everyone was like, oh, Claude Giroux on Colorado would look sick. And he was like, no, I'm only going to wait for Florida.
Should have waited for Colorado.
Yeah.
Very good point. That ooh.
Although Lekkonen.
Arturi Lekkonen knows a thing or two about scoring big goals in the playoffs. He definitely knows that. So, I mean, could be. I don't know, though. I mean, Claude Giroux, I mean, he would have looked really good in Colorado right now. Really good.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get away from the strip club sources for a moment here.
That's Sam, so are funny.
Sam, are you aware of the bet that we made on Zone Time last week?
No, I missed that.
Okay, so for the Carolina Rangers series, so Avery was here in your place. Myself, Omar, and Avery, we all picked the Rangers to beat the Carolina Hurricanes. While we were talking about the Rangers, Omar decided to get into one of his many rambles about High School Musical. Just found a way to shoehorn in some references. Karth is the only one of all of us who said he's picking the Carolina Hurricanes to win. If the Rangers win, he will watch one of the three High School Musical movies.
As a sidebar, how innocent is Omar? High School Musical references, had no idea we were talking about strip club. That is hilarious.
That is very true. I am a little kid. I have a kid mentality sometimes. And not gonna lie, man, I was screaming like a little kid when the Rangers pulled off that win, because like if they went, man, I was like watching that game and I was like, oh geez, oh no. I think it was like 2-1 with like 12 minutes left. And then like Chris Kreider has the open net and misses. I was like, Matt, listen, okay, you want to hear the damage? I'm sorry, bring it back to the Leafs. The damage. If that was the Leafs, I'm like, they lost. Right? I'm like, watch, they're gonna score 1-2, tie the game, lose in overtime. But see, that I guess there's a difference between watching the Leafs and not the Leafs.
By the way, if the Rangers win that series and Justin follows through on his word to watch High School Musical, I'm coming. Avery says he's coming. Omar's coming. Sam, are you coming? You can bring baby Sloan too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right.
I love High Justin. School Musical.
Oh,
I gotta I have to submit a written review to Avery.
Yes, that also has to happen too. Sam, do you have a ranking of the three High School Musical movies?
I have to rewatch them. I don't have one off the top of my head.
That's fair, because Omar very quickly said 1-3-2, one, three, two. No hesitation.
I was going to say 3-1-2, but
before you could ask a question, he was giving you a
wow. Oh, third.
I don't know.
Hit that. You look at Omar's chest, bro.
You guys got to come up with a consensus if the Rangers win.
Don't worry. I think the first one. It's a good base.
Yeah.
You could get that going, but it's out there in the universe. If the Rangers pull off this win, we're all pulling up at the Cuthbert residence to watch High School Musical with him. As
we'll
he goes
all be
the
in
first
it together.
Time.
It'll be awesome. It'll be great. We'll break free into his house.
Go Rangers. I'm actually cheering for it now. Go Rangers. Let's go.
I don't know if you want to break free into anybody's house, Omar. We ain't trying to do that.
Leave the door open. We'll leave the door open.
Yes, please. At the very least, we're not trying to get in trouble. Trying to get into the Cuthbert Manor, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, but back to that game, like Shesterkin, man. Shesterkin.
He's a Vezina candidate for a reason.
He's back.
Yeah. Yep. Like the Shesterkin we're seeing now is what I expected to see in round one, and it was kind of like up and down. But like, if he plays like this the rest of the way around, man. The Rangers are looking good.
Can I bring up one thing that I should have brought up during the Battle of Alberta segment, actually? I mean, no disrespect by this. There's this photo going around of the women and girlfriends of both teams in the Battle of Alberta wearing these
flag jackets.
I don't care for them. I don't think they look that nice. I hope I'm not a hater. I just wanted that to be known. I didn't think
the Oilers jackets could get worse after the first round, because they were like orange.
They have more
they have different ones per round.
They had different ones in the first round. They were Oilers orange and like kind of like a waffly kind of fabric. That's what it looked like. And I actually think the second round one somehow managed to be worse.
Okay.
I don't get the appeal of letting everyone know that you're so and so's wife or girlfriend, but I don't know. I could be on an island on that one.
Yo, the comments are crazy.
You and Tessa Virtue, who was the Leafs wife, who refused to wear one.
Did she? That is the most unsurprising thing ever. That is hilarious.
He should be wearing her jacket.
Yo,
yeah.
It's
That's very true. Morgan Riley is a Mr. Tessa Virtue.
Yep. Bless up.
You ruined us of the Scott Moore Tessa Virtue shipping we've been putting out for years. But you know what? Good on you, Morgan, I guess. Mr. Tessa Virtue.
I feel like Tessa just steers clear of Scotiabank Arena entirely. Has she been like, maybe she was there, but I feel like that wouldn't be her thing.
She posted a photo of her with like a bunch of the other wives and girlfriends, but she was not in a jacket.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, I just wanted that said. I just kind of feel like a random comment, but like I did kind of miss it. Please don't cancel this show. This
the is Flames ones are aggressive. Show. Aggressive.
They're very like the little tassels, little, like cowboy thing. Yeah, the tassels. Like nah. But now we're
nuts. You know what was nice was last year the Avalanche wives and girlfriends I think did blazers. With the with the retro jersey design, so that it had the fleur-de-lis on it. Those were nice.
Okay.
Those are cool.
They do different ones every year.
It's wild.
I'll take your word for it. Is that to say? Yeah, look, whatever.
Hey, the Oilers' wives and girlfriends better get a third one ready.
Yeah.
Hey, man. And when it comes time for that, Connor McDavid is, as far as he is the playoffs, it comes time for the NHL awards.
Can you imagine Jack Johnson defending against Connor McDavid?
Is Jack Johnson
Sam Gerard injury is big.
Jack Johnson's going because Gerard's season's done.
Yeah. Sternum. Gerard Sternum.
Man.
Yeah, we might get Johnson and Johnson pairing.
Was it this season or last season when like the Avalanche and the Vegas were in an outdoor game and then like Pietrangelo was
last year,
so he was mic'd up and then like McKinnon was like that like McKinnon was like charging at him. He was like, oh boy, that's Jack Johnson like every single shift.
Like, although a McCarr McDavid matchup would be sick to watch.
Oh,
come on. That is like, I want a photo of them like together on the ice. And like, I just want to marvel at it. I'm telling you, an Edmonton Colorado conference final. I mean, look, I think most people pick Colorado and Calgary, but Edmonton Colorado would be very, very fun. I really want it now. I really do. All right, that's going to do it for Zone Time this week. I think we've discussed enough. We've caused enough trouble in the hockey world. We'll be back next week with more opportunities to cause trouble in the hockey Twitter world. Great conversations as always. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Omar. Thank you, Cuff. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to the Yahoo Sports NHL YouTube page. There's also some great fun stuff there. Brand new episode of the Yahoo Sports Hockey Podcast with Justin Cuthbert and me should be out by now. So be sure to check that out as well. We'll be back next week. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.